You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan is one of 13 states to mount a legal challenge against a new Trump administration rule on immigration. Starting October 15th, immigrants will be refused a green card if they've used or appear likely to use government benefit programs such as subsidized housing, food stamps, Medicaid. The Nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute estimates this new rule could affect about 116,000 people here in Michigan. Dr. William Lopez is part of a University of Michigan team of researchers that's been studying the impact of rapidly changing immigration policies on immigrant families in Detroit and Washtenaw County, and he is here with us now. Dr. Lopez, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much.
You examine immigration policy through the lens of community health. What have you learned?
That's right. So what we do in our work is mostly work with communities and providers and talk to them about what they think about changing policies and how these policies will impact communities and families on the ground. And what we see is pretty uniform. So even before this particular change, such as when Trump was elected or even in the lead up to the election, the quote was correct. There's this chilling effect. So families and communities are worried that one particular change may have ripple effects through that impact their immigration status and their ability to stay here in the country.
So, like, on a ground level and inside of people's homes, what does this chilling effect look like?
Sure. I mean, I think the bottom line is that folks worry that in applying to particular government services, it will impact their ability to stay in the country, right? And we see this codified in the public charge ruling now. What we see is, as you mentioned, this wealth test or this test that if you do not meet certain standards or you depend on certain government services, that your green card will be denied, could be denied. Your residency application could be denied.
So what are people doing without? What are they going without?
Sure. So one of the major issues here is that often these rules will say there's particular resources, there's particular government services that you perhaps that you shouldn't get because it will look negatively upon you. But the real calculation on the ground is not that specific, right? So often people are thinking, well, if the government looks at this one particular health service, will they look at many others? And in that case, they're avoiding a range of healthcare services such as food assistance, WIC, women, infant and kids, women, infant, children, TANF, or temporary assistance for needy families. And like I said, a range of other services that they fear could impact their immigration status. And folks are often just avoiding going to the hospital or going to the clinic because they worry about questions they may be asked or enforcement they may experience actually on the way to the clinic.
And is that being backed up when you talk to clinics and healthcare providers? What are you hearing from them?
It is. So we hear this both from community members as well as clinic and healthcare providers, but also nationally. So we see very similar effects through states throughout the country.
What are people saying? They're calling and canceling? Are there no showing?
A little of that, a little cancels, a little no showing. But much of what we see related to the discussion now is when administrators are asking, well, would you like to apply for this service? Folks are saying, no, I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know if the government's going to get my information. And part of the challenge is that folks will often say, I don't know what this will do to me in the future. So again, even before this rule change took place, on the ground, people were kind of predicting this. If the government does not want me here, what are the ways in which they will make rules to prevent me from staying here? And this is one that I think many folks saw coming.
What are the long-range health implications for these people and their families?
So the health implications are many. And I mean, I think starting with the individual who is not applying for these programs, you know, supplemental food assistance, supplemental income assistance, and housing assistance are all there because research shows they keep individuals healthier. They lead to healthier and longer lives. And what do folks do with healthier, longer lives? They get jobs. They go to school. They get educated. And then they pay taxes, buy into the economy. So there are these repercussions that come with not being able to stay healthy in the early days, in the early years when you arrive to a country. But then thinking even outside of the individual, much of this imagines undocumented immigrants as if it's just undocumented folks living in some small corner of the country, right? The reality is that undocumented folks live in all 50 states, including Michigan, as you said, and that usually they're parts of what we call mixed-status families, which are part of mixed-status communities.
And these meaning?
Sure. So mixed-status family, meaning somebody of one citizenship status is in a family relationship with folks of others. So often someone who's undocumented will be married to somebody who has a visa who has a citizenship. or someone who's undocumented as a parent will have citizen children. And one of the repercussions we see here is that when individuals are worried about what their applications may, what may happen to their applications in the future, they think about whether they should avoid applying for resources for their children as well. And so, to be clear, this particular public charge ruling is only looking at individuals' applications, not what you apply for to support your children. But often, as we said, the fear and the chilling effect makes folks question everything they're applying for.
And speaking of health impacts, what do you find the impacts are of living in fear, of that tension? What does that do to physical and mental health?
I think the direct impacts are many. So on individually and on the family level, there's this psychological fear, emotional reaction to the threat of deportation, right? So thinking even extending a little bit outside of this public charge ruling, this fear of removal, or for children, this fear that my parents may be removed, is obviously not good for anyone psychologically, right? So we consistently hear of children who are hugging their parents goodbye in the morning to go to school, and parents worrying that they may not be the people to pick those children up during the day. And there's many reasons to feel this way in the current climate. We saw in Mississippi, there was a raid and 680 people were detained, right? So that is an enormous amount of people generally connected to children. And, you know, as research shows, and I think that many of us as parents or just perhaps as people know, it is hard to build a healthy family with a parent removed or with the threat of a parent possibly removed every day.
To be fair, this issue certainly, you've indicated, predates President Trump. I know your upcoming book, Separated, Family and Community in the Aftermath of an Immigration Raid, it's coming out next month. It explores this big ripple effect among families and communities in Southeast Michigan following a day of ICE raids and detentions in November 2013. So that was under the Obama administration, not the Trump administration. So what is your goal in sharing your work? Where are we at this point in our nation's history?
That's correct. You know, when I was doing the work for that book and documenting what was happening here in our own county and how the effects of one raid can ripple out through a community, perhaps naively, I thought I was documenting the effects of the Obama-era administration that we'd be reflecting on for years to come, right? And we were going to think of a different era and we were going to move forward in our immigration policy in a more inclusive way. I was obviously wrong. And I think what I ended up documenting was how one raid can have ripple effects throughout the county. And now we're seeing raids like this on a much grander scale. So to be clear, I documented a home raid. And what we're seeing is not only continued home raids, but often these large scale work raids. But the effects are very similar. So individuals are experience traumatic reactions. Families are separated and communities fear using government resources or contacting law enforcement.
Are resources there to help and assist immigrants in 2019 compared to 1919 when people were pouring through Ellis Island? I mean, can we care for the poor who come from other countries without taking away from those who were born here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think especially in Michigan, we have many advocates and we may have many community organizations supporting folks who arrive here. There's many, especially concerning raids. Many organizations are offering Know Your Rights training so folks are aware of what they can do and how they can respond.
But when we talk about the resources,
sure.
Public health, housing vouchers, that's what's going after. And I think there are those who argue we have to take care of our own first. If you didn't follow the rules, too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you raise a couple of important points. One is that this rhetoric of you should follow the rules is a bit disingenuous given a continuously changing system of rules, right? And so the public charge is just one example of this. So the folks who are petitioning to come to the U.S. are petitioning for their green cards are suddenly being told, well, this may not work. And this isn't for some egregious illegal behavior. This is specifically for using the public health programs that we believe will keep them and their communities healthy. And to be clear, that we believe will keep our community healthy, right? So this isn't just they're using programs to selfishly, if you want to cast it as selfishly, be healthy and extend their life. Like, we know that this is better for everyone in the area in which these folks live, right? The second is also this idea that money is being pulled from resources going to U.S. citizens to help immigrant and undocumented immigrants. And like I said, it's not the world, our world is not so cleanly divided. Undocumented folks and mixed status communities are part of all of our communities. And we also spend an inordinate amount of money on border enforcements and building a wall that could be used for things like asylum cases, more attorneys, and resources to help families who've arrived here.
Dr. William Lopez is a clinical assistant professor of health education and health behavior at the University of Michigan. His upcoming book, Separated: Family and Community in the Aftermath of an Immigration Raid. Thanks for being with us on Stateside.
Thanks for having me.